Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
If you can, be seated. Hallelujah. If I was two people, I'd just keep playing while I started preaching. But I can't do that, but I just like hanging out right there. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. This is a little tall for me. There we go. Would you put the scripture up? It's Hebrews 12. This is a lot of scripture. We're not going to cover all of it today, but we're going to cover some of it. The first couple of verses, and next week we'll finish it. But if you listen to this scripture as you're reading it, I want you to try to put yourself in there. Can you stand with me as we honor the word of the Lord? Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Let's read this together. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Let's pray. Father, we just ask that you, by your Holy Spirit, begin to speak to us that which you want us to know today. We ask for your anointing to be in this house, to hear the word of the Lord, to hear what you speak to our hearts, and that, Father, when we hear, we respond. Thank you that you love us with an everlasting love. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, to help us to be all that we can be. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You may be seated. The first two verses are my keys today where I'm going to hang out. Let me read it again. Therefore, we also. Notice how many times it says we in there. Therefore, we also, comma, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, then it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. Some scripture translations say patience, the race, run with patience or endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's a whole lot of scripture. A whole lot of things are going on there. I want to focus on the first thing. In verse 1, it says, therefore we also. Now just think about the we, and who is that we? Put that right here. How many of you ever started something in your life that was very important to you to accomplish? You started something. You started school. Back in the day, it was you start college and drop out after the first year. I did that, unfortunately. Anybody else did that? Yeah. You started something. You started a diet at the beginning of the year. I want to lose 15 pounds. And you stopped eating for 1 week, and then something happened. You know, right? Or maybe you just had a decision. You said, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to be serious about my relationship with God. I'm going to just follow him. I'm coming to church every week. I'm going to go to Bible study. I'm going to join Rooted. I'm going to usher. I'm going to sing in the choir. I'm going to, and you say whatever those things are, and then something happens and you're not successful. You don't accomplish it. I want to speak today about how to be successful. And one of the ways, there's a lot of ways. I used to see in the 80s, everybody used to have success in life. Success, success, success. If you want to be successful as a real estate agent, if you want to be successful as a football player, if you want to be successful as a money manager, you have to do all, there's five keys and there's nine keys. Everybody remember that? All them keys. Well, I'm going to talk about one key. One key. So go back to the verse 1. It says, therefore we. Who is that we that it's talking about? Anybody? Us. You got to talk back to me today.
Us.
It's us-ins. We-ins, if you're from Pittsburgh. We. That's us, y'all. We. It says, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And then it says, let us. That's the same group. Let us. We. And you'll see why I'm doing this in a minute. That group of we or us is not one person or two people, even though two people can be we, but there's at least two people sitting on your row. I was tempted to make everybody come down and sit real close to everybody so you could feel the press of people around you. And our sanctuary is large enough to accommodate, one or two people per row. And you came to church, but you all by yourself over there hanging out by yourself. And one thing about worship, about coming to church, in fact, is that when you hear somebody else singing or praising God, it inspires you. It inspires me. Sometimes when we are playing and I'll stop the band and all you hear is drums or sometimes nothing, and then you hear you all sing, it's like, oh, man, everybody's entering in. That's something that God's listening to, what you say. But so are we as people together listening, because there's something happening when a whole bunch of people say something loud. You've been at the games back in the, I remember some basketball championship some years ago when that wave thing started. Y'all remember that? One people stood up and nobody did it. But after a while, it caught on, and they'd stand up, and then they'd stand up, and it'd go all around. Then it got to be real, like, a big deal, because everybody was doing it. And that's kind of what we're talking about here when we talk about the we. That's me. Include yourself in that we. Amen? So there's another group of people. And a little further on in the verse, it talks about the cloud of witnesses. And some of y'all think that you're the witnesses. You're not. The cloud of witnesses are the people who have already died, and they've run their race, and they're now sitting at the right hand in heaven. I'm sorry, they're not at the right hand, but they're in heaven. They're out there looking on us. They're witnesses to what we do. I don't know how they do it. I don't have enough theology to understand how they get to see what we're doing, but this scripture here says that there's a cloud of witnesses looking. You can't witness something unless you see it. So they have to be seeing us. And why am I spending so much time on this we group, y'all, us, we, and them, us? Because they've already done what we're trying to do. And they're saying, you can make it. You can do it. Some of us are weary in well-doing. And I don't know about you, but I've seen this happen so many times. In the beginning of your Christian walk, you're on fire. Did Jesus save you? Yes. Some of y'all all excited. And about 2 weeks later, I don't know if I'm saved. Anybody done that? Come on, don't. 2 years later, I don't know if I'm saved. Well, you're still saved. It's kind of like saying, this is a good one. It's kind of like saying, your mother and father had you. You were born. They christened you, threw a little oil on you or whatever, wiped you up with a bib, put some food in your stomach, and they fed you, and you started growing. And then about 2 years old, you go, I don't know if I'm here or not. 3 or 4 years later, you got a mustache and a beard, and you're like, I don't know if I'm here or not. You were born again. You can't be unborn. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So if you're a believer, you're a believer. Amen?
Amen.
So you can't, don't go back questioning that. And some of us do. We get weary in doing the thing because we don't see the results we want. So I want to talk a little bit about how to do that. So the we, that we is real exciting. One of the ways that the we is important in the context of being a fellowship of believers. And if I can communicate one big thing to us today, it's that we need each other. We need each other. My friend Danny Bell Hall wrote a song many years ago. And right after she wrote it, I went to see her in a concert. She was singing it. And she said, we all need each other, just like a brother or sister. We all need each other. And some of you think you don't. How many of you grew up in a family and you were the only one? Ain't nobody in here? You were the only. Oh, I didn't see you. Okay, you didn't have no brothers and sisters, just you. Didn't you want to have brothers and sisters? Yeah, see. Okay, and those of you who had brothers and sisters, you wish you were the only one, right? You wish, but you see, everybody wants to switch. She'd rather have all the brothers and sisters, and you'd rather have none. Yeah, because you want everything for yourself. But you found out, didn't you, that it takes brothers and sisters to make it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know about you. I have 7 siblings. I grew up in a big family, and I always wanted to have my own room. I always wanted to be separate like all of y'all. I just want to have my own, be separate, you know. And then when I got a little older and moved away from home, I was living in Texas, and every Thanksgiving and Christmas and July 4th and Labor Day and Memorial Day, all the holidays, and I remember I learned all my siblings' birthdays, and on their birthdays, I wouldn't call them. I wouldn't say nothing. I wouldn't write them a letter. I wouldn't get on the phone. I knew they was having a barbecue, and I wouldn't communicate because I missed them so much, I didn't want to feel the pain of being separated. And some of us should have that feeling about missing church every Sunday. Thank you, James. I appreciate that. Some of us should have that feeling about not being together with the saints. Amen. This is the point that I'm making right now. We're surrounded by people who are looking on, trying to encourage us, but it happens when we are together. You can't make it by yourself. You can't make it by yourself. I have the privilege of being one of 7 siblings. And when I finally moved to the Northwest, where a significant number of my family lived, my parents lived here, I moved back up here. I was like, man, I've been home. I went to a big family reunion before I moved up here, and I was in New York City. And when I came back, a good friend of my wife and I picked us up from the airport, and she said, you look different. I mean, as soon as I came up, this is back before 9/11, she said, you look different. What happened to you? I said, nothing happened. I just went and I was hanging out with my family. Yeah, but you look different. I said, what do you mean I look different? What's different about me? Well, I know your face and everything. You didn't gain no weight or lose no weight or nothing. You didn't wear no different clothes, but your countenance is different. And it was true. My heart was way lighter. I was connected to my brothers and sisters. It did something for me, and it actually reflected in my physical countenance. Are y'all getting this picture? Is it coming across? When you miss church, when you come to church, When you go to your rooted group, amen. Rooted, rooted, rooted. When you go to your life group, some of you have been, we've been begging you to get into Rooted or get into a life group, and you still, I don't think I need that. I'd rather be by myself. Would you rather be by yourself?
No.
Say it louder.
No.
See? Really, do you? I don't want to be by myself. I lived by myself for 10 years without my family. As soon as I got back together with my family, even my kids know something was different. It changed me in a significantly better way. And one of the reasons for that, Romans 12:5 says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We being many. There's the we. That includes you and me. We being many. In other words, it's not we two people. It's we being many. I don't know how many is in here today, but it's many. Amen? We being many are one body in who? In Christ. And individually, we're members of one another. That individually word means that you're an individual. You have your own, I'm not picking on you, young lady, but you have nice red hair and you look great, right? You're an individual. God loves you just as much as he loves me and my fat self. And he loves James right over here. And he loves someone else over there. He loves all, but we're individuals. But when we get together, we form something that doesn't happen when you're by yourself. Can I get a witness? I got to drink some water. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, for as the body is one and has many members, drink. But all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether we're Jews or Greeks. I'm adding to this now. I'm going to include everybody. Whether Jews or Greeks, black or white, yellow or brown, fat or skinny, old or young, gray hair or not. Can I think of some other group? Hair or not, there you go. Me and Chuck got something going on right here. Yeah. We're all part of the same group. We've been baptized into one body, whether we're Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. That's 1 Corinthians 12:12. So here's another reason. This scripture is the justification for you being a part of New Song Church, of being a part of Rooted, being a part of some ministry here, being connected to one another. Ecclesiastes 4:9, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. I like that. It means you're working and they get back a return for the effort they put in when it's two, not one. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls. Let me say that again. Woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Verse 11. Again, if two lie down together, and keep that in the right context, they will keep warm. If it's cold out and you're up on Mount Hood and you ain't got no clothes or nothing, no heavy, something happened, you went mountain climbing and the heat went away, you're in trouble. If two of you lie down together back to back, you'll keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So if you do some multiplying, if one is okay, two is way better, amen? Three is even better. Four is even better. Five is even better. Come on, six is even better. Seven is even better. I know y'all can count to 10. Eight is even better. 9 is even better. 30 is even better. 50 is even better. 100 is even better. Are you getting the point? I know I'm beating this, but I want to beat it because you will get something from it. You'll benefit it. So Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." So if you're not together in the we section, if you're not we-ing together, new descriptor, if you're not we-ing together, then you can't express love and good works to one another. I can love you from afar. Hey, Jerusha, you in here? There's my wife of almost 14 years. I love her dearly. Can you give her a hand? Now, I threw a kiss to her 3 times. Now, you tell me, honey, which one's better? Me being right next to you and kissing you, or me throwing you a kiss? Next to you. So my friend wrote a poem. He said, "If love is not done, there is none." What means you got to be with people in order to love them. You can't love them in your mind. I mean, I know you have good intentions, but nothing happens unless you do something. Jesus loved us so much that he did what? What? I thought he just thought about us and he loved us. You know what I mean? He had good intentions. If he hadn't have sent Jesus, would we have gotten something from that love? Zero. Love has to be something we do. And in order to do it, you have to be connected to people. You have to live with people. You have to know people. Is this getting across? I got about 5 more minutes to get this point across. What are the benefits of being on a team or being in church or being in a rooted group or being together, being in that we group? Think of it like this. If you played, I know everybody played some kind of game or sport, right? Everybody's played it. You played baseball, you played hopscotch. You played on a tag team, you did something with a team. Everybody? Yeah. If you haven't, you've seen it on TV. If you haven't, you know somebody who has and they told you about it. But here's the result. When you're on a team, it's not it's we. So you learn together. You learn things together as a group. And you learn things individually. That's one benefit. Another benefit is you can grow in your discipline or in that sport. Like if you play with people who are better than you, when I was younger playing basketball, I always tried to play with the older guys because, number one, they could do better. And I learned from watching them. And I watched them steal their little moves. When you go like this, can't do it so fast anymore, but, you know, just imagine back in the day. I was pretty good. I could go fake. We should say catch a bird, and he'd be gone. I step over, boom, 2 points. See, I learn stuff from playing with people better. We learn when we're hanging around with people stronger in Christ than we are. We learn when we're hanging around people who are strong, because the stronger ones give us techniques, tips, and I don't want to say tricks, but, you know, you learn stuff. That's a benefit of being together. Here's another one. You have the opportunity to win. How many of you want to win in your relationship with God? That's what I entitled this sermon, Winning. How do we win? How do you win when it comes to every day you get up and you got to go to work and you got to do what you're doing and you got to fight this and work through that and whatnot? When you're with other people, it's easier to win. When you have somebody praying for you, you can overcome. Amen? I'm going to give you my own personal testimony. I know there's hundreds of testimonies out there right now. If you can think of a time you went through something as a Christian, as a believer, and God was helping you by putting you in connection with other people who prayed you through. Because sometimes that's all you got. When I say all you got, I mean you can't do it by yourself. If it wasn't for someone else, you wouldn't be here. So I have a daughter, y'all seen her sing here, Nicole, and you've heard the story of how she was born and you know, she was two and a half months premature and so on and so forth, but I never told you about this part. It was just after my wife went in the hospital. The Holy Spirit told me, I saw my wife walking away. I dropped her off to work. She wasn't due to have a baby for 3.5 more months. We were going to Lamar's classes. We were scheduled to go. We never did make it. She walked away from me, and the Holy Spirit said, call the doctor and have her checked up right now. So I went to a payphone, called the doctor, told her to make an appointment, and she did. We got in there, and they said, something's wrong. Are you seeing stars right now? And she was like, no, I'm not seeing stars. And I was like, who sees stars? What do you mean stars? That's a cartoon thing when you get hit hard on your head and the things go around like that. So I thought that's what that was. So anyway, they kept taking her blood pressure. They said, you need to lay down. They stuck her in a room, closed the shades, and tell us to think good thoughts. And you know what thought I was thinking? Jesus, help us. So there was 2.5, 3 weeks that the baby was under duress. She was pregnant. And I'm trying to shorten this. And so I had just got a new this is so weird. I had just got a new job. Actually, I was working for myself, but I started a recording business, and I had a recording session, and it was at my church during the day. So I went there, like I came to New Song. When I came in the premises, the offices were there, and one of the pastors saw me and said, hey, Brother Paul, how you doing? So I said, well, you know, I just put my wife in the hospital, and I had this pre-thing set up already, so I was doing it. She's back at the hospital. I would have rather been with her. But as soon as I said that, he called one of the other pastors, and they began to pray for me. And some other people heard them praying for me, and before I knew it, I had 2 or 3 people on the floor holding my legs and praying for my legs. Somebody else had their hands on me. They were praying for me. And I'm telling you what, I felt the strength of Almighty God come into me. Because when the doctor told me when we were in the hospital, he said, we're going to have to admit her to emergency, my knees buckled. And so in a way, I was like, man, she could die. I didn't realize how serious it was. I said, oh, you mean she can't go back to work? And the guy said, are you crazy? She ain't going nowhere but in the hospital. And she went into emergency, and that's how it was. So for 2.5 weeks, some of these miracles that I'm not going to tell you today, just take my word for it, or you can catch me later on, I'll tell you about them. But these miracles happened over the course of 2.5 weeks, and many of them I did not know until years later, because I wasn't there. Not because I was absent, but I wasn't there all the time. And this is just one of them. One day, one of the elders' wives in my church, she was praying, and the Lord said, you need to go to the hospital and visit her right now. And so she was like, yeah. And he said, go get 2 people and go with her. 3 of you women, go and pray for her. She needs you now. So she called up a stewardess. The chances of that lady being home right then was impossible. But guess what? She was home, and she was an intercessor. That was her gift in the body of Christ. She was home. They called another lady. They all met up at the hospital. They went into the room. My wife was in a, not like a coma, but she was knocked out. And she was in pain. And all of a sudden, when they came in, they told me, she sat straight up in the bed and said, if you don't pray for me, I'm going to lose my baby. And then she went back out. They began to pray in earnest for about an hour. They just bombarded heaven on her behalf. My wife couldn't do nothing. I didn't even know about it until 1.5 years later. And this one woman, she used to ask me every Sunday, once the baby came and everything was good, God gave us a miracle. But we were coming out of church one day. She said, how's baby Greenidge? We didn't have a name for her for like 2 months. So she was just baby Greenidge. And I was like, why does she keep asking me how she's doing? And then one day I figured it out. She said to me, yeah, I remember that day me and so, we went to the hospital and we prayed for you, Grace. You remember that? My wife said, no, I don't remember that. She said, yeah, you sat up in the bed and told us if we don't pray for you, you and the baby are going to die.
And that was absolutely true in the sense that it could have happened. And she was like, no, I don't remember that at all. She said, you don't remember us praying? We prayed for you for an hour. You don't remember that? No. No memory. So if we weren't a member of the church we were at, and if we weren't participating in fellowship with people, and if we weren't connected to people, nobody would have been led of the Lord to come and pray for us because they wouldn't have known about us. You see what I'm saying? Can I get a witness? So that's one justification. I could give you more miracles that happen, but they happen because we're connected. Because we're connected. So let's go back to the scripture at the top. It says, therefore, we also, that will be members of New Song, you, me, and all of us together, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, that means all of us, let us come together. Here we go. Sorry. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So if you don't get nothing else out of this message, being connected is worth living. Because I wouldn't be here if I wasn't connected. My first wife wouldn't be here. Well, she's not here now anyway. She's in heaven. But my daughter wouldn't be here. She's 34 years old, be 35. She's been married for 6-7 years. That wouldn't have never happened because I wouldn't have had the faith. And I did, in fact, go to another church where they didn't believe in healing and miracles. And I said, I got to go. I did because I didn't know it then, but it was only a year and a half later when this incident happened. And if I was at that church, they would say, well, Paul, I don't know what we're going to do. But I was at a church where people believe God can do something. That's how it is here. Amen? There's faith in this house. People believe God can do something. So, Rudy commercial one more time. Next Sunday, you need to sign up. On the way out, you need to go to that door over there and fill out your name on the card. Some of y'all, we've been trying to chase you down and call you. And you know what? You should be chasing us down. I need to get in that Rudy group. I need to be whole. I need to have some people who know me and can help me. Yeah. Now, this wasn't the whole part of my message. It was about laying aside every weight. But I feel constrained, you know, that is under pressure from the Holy Spirit to move us in the direction of health and strength. Because I can, which I don't have time, but there's a lot of people who go through a lot of unnecessary, and I'm going to use this word advisedly, crap, stuff. Because they don't get connected. I'm living. I watch the y'all on Facebook. That's good when, you know, on one or two occasions. But how many of you have been to church 3 times in a row? Okay, everybody close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. Don't cheat. How many of you skip church twice a month? Raise your hand. I'm the only one looking. I appreciate the honesty. How many of you, when it's raining or any little distraction or challenge, if it's not comfortable for you, you won't come to church? Because, and you fill in the blank. Okay, so today I came to warn you and to encourage you and to chase that devil off of you that keeps you hemmed in and burdened down because you're not here where the Holy Spirit can pour his love on you, where he can bless you by having you connected to other people and your situation can change. I didn't tell y'all to open your eyes yet, but you can. Some of y'all are looking already, trying to see. But this is the serious part. We came to do business today. Amen? I didn't come to church for nothing. I mean, I came to play the piano because that's part of my job. I came to preach today because this is part of my job. But I came for a result. And God is here to meet us. And when he comes, he wants to do something. You ever go to the supermarket? look around at all the stuff you could have and then walk out with nothing? Is it fun? You know, I went shopping today. Now, some of you ladies, you like to go shopping for clothes, and you look and look and look and can't find nothing. But you know what? If you came with a purpose to buy something, that money in your pocket was burning a hole. Or you had to have an outfit for something. Or, you know, you needed to buy pants because you don't have any more or something. When you go to the store, you want to come out with what you went there for, right? So when you come to church every Sunday, you ought to get something you came here for. Hello? Am I talking to the benches here? You ought to get something you came here for. If you came here just to look good, you didn't get nothing, shame on you. I don't go to church except I want to hear from God. I don't come to church except I want God to do something in me. I don't come here just because I want to see you, although that is huge. I miss some people when I don't see you. I'm like, I want, you know, I'd really like to see how you're doing, Cliff. It's good to see you. James ain't been here for a few weeks, months, because he's been going through some stuff. But you know what? I've been to his house. I've been to the doctor with him. I've been to the hospital with him. And I know how he's doing. And now he's here. Because we've been praying for him for I don't know how long. Amen. Now ask James, and he's a lone guy. He's not married. He lives alone. He has a couple of friends. But basically, this is his house of friendship right here. And we've been praying for him. How long have you been coming here, James? About 5 years, 7 or 8 years. Since I've been here, you've been here. He don't even remember. All I'm trying to tell you is, get in on this good thing called fellowship. Get in on this good thing called the place where things happen. It's the body of Christ. And Jesus died for all of us to make us free. Amen? Amen. This message is over. I'm out of time. But I got good news for you. God wants to do something for you today. Would you bow your head? If something said today spoke to you, if the Lord is bringing conviction on you, and let me clarify again, conviction is not feeling bad for the sake of feeling bad. It's the Holy Spirit saying, you know what, you need this, and I'm bringing it to your attention so you can fix it. You can get it fixed. You know, when you take your car in to get an oil change, they look around, check your brakes and everything else, and then they tell you, you know what, you need a new engine. You need this, you need that. And so when you come to church, the Holy Spirit's telling you, you need this, you need that. That's a good thing because he wants to fix it. That's why he's bringing it to your attention. Not to shame you. There's nothing wrong with needing help. The devil's the one going, see, if you were such a good Christian, you wouldn't need somebody else. He's a liar from the pit of hell, and I command him in the name of Jesus to shut up right now. You can get healed from your stuff, whatever it is. God wants you to be healed. All you have to do is confess. We didn't get to that, but simply, confession is you saying, look, I need help. I've been doing this my own way. It ain't working. I need help. God, help me right now. That's what you have to do. So we're just going to pray. I was going to have the choir sing, but we don't have time. The song they were going to sing is, O Come to the Altar. Would you put those words up? Put the first verse up. I'm going to ask you this. Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling you. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Please, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today. There's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Christ. That's all you got to do today. Come to the altar. We're going to stand. If the Lord's speaking to you, we don't need no music or nothing. Just come down. Prayer people, come down. Just come down right now. Come in faith. Cliff, come on down here. And the rest of you want something, come on, Sam. If you want something from God, come on down to get it. Just come on. Chuck, come on. Winkler. There's people down here that need to get. You got something you want to get rid of? You got a habit you need to get rid of? Anybody sick and need help? Anybody broken down somewhere? God wants to fix you. He wants to heal you. So just close your eyes one more time. Bow your heads. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you in this moment of silence. We're just going to be quiet and let the Holy Spirit do all the convicting, the convincing. Remember, He loves you. That's why the song says, "Oh, come, please come to the altar. Receive mercy." The Bible says, "Come boldly to the throne of grace and receive mercy in your time of need." You got a need? This is the time to come. Anybody else got a need in here? I know there's more people. I like that second verse. Are you tired? Can you put that up, Lexi? Oh, maybe it's the first verse. Are you tired? Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Second part, have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Do you want to be free? Jesus is calling you. Come on. Come to the altar and receive what God has for you right now. And if you think, I don't need nothing, the Lord is not talking to me, I'm all good. And if you feel like that and you're really convinced that that's the case, I want you to stretch your hands to those who are coming down and pray for them right now. Let's storm heaven right now. Open your mouth and pray. Pray intercession for those who are down here right now. Father, we just pray your Holy Spirit brings healing and deliverance for every person that's come down here today. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for a breaking of chains. We pray for setting the captives free. We pray for deliverance from their flesh and the things of the world. We're praying, Lord, that you'll help them to break out from where they are to where you are, taking that one step forward in the name of Jesus. Lord, you tell us to come boldly to the throne, boldly. Come. And so, Lord, we just pray right now that as they're coming, as they're wanting to receive, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would bring the healing they so desire and so need. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over every enemy spirit, every lying spirit, every deceptive spirit, and we come against it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask that right now you'll loose somebody that's bound up, that they know they want to be free, but they just can't make the move. Set them free right now in the name of Jesus. Set them free right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, y'all, do battle. Pray in earnest right now for these that are down here. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.